morning, beloved. Boy, there's not very many beloved in here this morning. So am I, but I'm here. Praise the Lord. We're going to spend the next few weeks, probably up until Easter, we're going to spend them in the four synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we're going to talk about what Jesus said and what he did. If you will, it's kind of a discipleship training. And this way you'll know the preacher ain't making it up. It's right there, you can read it, the things that Jesus said. I started a book yesterday called The Cost of Discipleship, and it's written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you're not familiar with him, he was a theologian, German theologian, who went to England for a while. Then he came to America, and when Hitler started his concentration camps, Bonhoeffer was appalled that the church sat on their hands and didn't do anything. And his friends in this country warned him not to go back, but he said, if I don't take a stand, that's a stand. If I don't say something, that's a statement. So he went back to Germany, started preaching in a church, and he started talking about the wickedness of the Gestapo and the Hitler, the Führer. Socialism, he preached against socialism. The nationalism that they had, where they almost worshipped the Führer. And long story short, he was sent to several concentration camps, and then he was finally hanged. And his opening statement in the book was, when Jesus calls a man, he invites him to die. And I'll tell you what, I had trouble putting the book down. I finally made myself put it down because I had other things to do. But it's very moving. And there's another one called Papers from Prison, memoirs he wrote while he was in the concentration camps. We're going to be talking about discipleship. Not what Rick says, but what Jesus says. We're going to talk about Jesus' invitation to follow him. But it's not for a life of luxury. In ease. The text this morning comes out of Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. Rest for the weary is what Jesus is talking about. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Holy Father in heaven, I thank you that your word never comes back to you void or empty, but it accomplishes what you sent it out to do. And Lord Jesus, as we look at this statement today, I ask you that if there are any here bound by sin, bound by legalism, bound by other things, Lord, weary, thinking about fainting and giving up, that this message would strengthen them and encourage them, this personal invitation from you to us. And I ask it in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Jesus had been teaching and preaching and healing people. And the Pharisees accused him of having a demon, so that's how he does it. And at certain times, after they went to one of his meetings, it said they would get together with the scribes and conspire how they might kill him. They did not like his claims. They did not like the way that he taught the law. In fact, they rebuked him in one place and said, "Who gave you the authority to teach like this?" Jesus said, "My Father." "Oh, God's your Father. Well, we need to stone you because that's blasphemy." Well, it's only blasphemy if it's not true. Yeah. There's people today call God their Father, and he's not their Father. They're in churches all over America. They read the Bible. They study. Man, they study. They strive to live a good moral life. You look at them, you talk to them, and you think at first, man, what a Christian. Paul said they're ravenous wolves. And he told the elders at the Ephesian church, these wolves don't come from outside the church. They come inside. Your own people. Now, what's this got to do with this? Well, I'll tell you. Jesus had been teaching, as I said. The Pharisees were resisting him. And he starts out and says, "Father, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and delivered them." Now, the King James says, "unto babes." The Greek means the simple. Paul said, think of your calling. When God called you, not many of you were scholars or wise by the world's standards. But he said God used his wisdom by the foolishness of what is preached to condemn the wisdom of the wise, to mess it up. Jesus said, "I thank you, Father," and the Greek there means, "I agree with you. I agree with your decision that you're going to keep the wise and learned from receiving this." And Dr. Clark said, Jesus isn't saying that God's responsible for them not seeing it, but he's thanking God for the fact that that is what's going on. That doesn't sound like the Jesus I talk to people about. Well, he's all love, man. You know, Jesus is all love. If you're going to preach Jesus, you preach love. Amen. You never said anything more true in your life. Jesus is love. But love will tell you when you're wrong. Love will tell you when you need to repent. Yeah. The Lord said, "I chastise as many as I receive." And when I talk to Christians that are under his chastisement, I say, praise God. Doesn't it just make you feel so good that you know you're one of his kids? So who's the burdened? Who's the burden that Jesus is talking about? He rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. He said, "You know, you guys tie heavy loads and you lay them on men's shoulders, but you won't try to lift it with one finger." You see, the Pharisees had their own idea of righteousness. And what they arrogantly did was say to Jesus, "We don't need what you're selling. Boy, we keep the law." Paul said that when I was a Pharisee, I was blameless. Now, wait a minute, Paul. Nobody's blameless. Paul said, I was. He said, I kept the law. And remember, the Pharisees and the scribes had added some 615 ordinances to the law of Moses. That's why Jesus said they're heavy. And he said, "You guys heap this on the people, and you tell them if you do what we tell you, then you'll go to the kingdom of heaven. If you don't, you're going to hell." And Jesus said, in essence, "You guys don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what righteousness is." He said, "You know the book, the Bible." Oh, man, he said, "You guys diligently study the scriptures." I have read that a lot of the Pharisees had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. Wow. They could quote it from memory. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. Numbers, Deuteronomy. Forgive me. They could quote it. Now, we meet people like that today, and even preachers will go, wow, they must be a Christian. But as somebody I talked to the other day talked about the different voices we hear, I'm not talking about the mental illness. Our preacher hears voices. Ooh. Every time God is moving, do you understand the enemy opposes? And Paul told the church, be careful. Because the angels of Satan can appear as apostles of light. Oh, what that preacher said is so good, or what that deacon said, or what that brother or sister said. Oh, man, that's so good. And Paul said, they're trying to mislead you. Huh? Yeah, he said, they're trying to mislead you. Now, Jesus isn't inviting people to a religion. Christianity is called a religion or a cult by some. It's cultic. And the scholars, when they speak of worship, they talk about cultic. And they're not saying they're an evil cult. That's just a term that's used. They're cultic. They're a clique. They're a clique. You know, they got the beliefs. And if you don't agree with their beliefs, then they probably aren't going to extend a hand of fellowship to you. And Jesus is talking to these Jews who the Pharisees have said, if you're going to go to heaven, you got to do this, 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 and this, and this. Then you got to do this, 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 this. Then you got to, and he said, but you wouldn't pick one of them loads up even with your finger. In other words, he said, you're preaching it, but you ain't doing it. You remember he told his disciples one place, listen to what the Pharisees tell you because they sit in the Moses seat. That's the seat of authority. So do what they tell you, but he said, don't do what they do because they're not going to heaven. This infuriated the Pharisees. Jesus said, I recognize your teaching, that you're teaching the law, and that's good. Teach the law. That's what Jesus was saying. Listen to them about the law. These guys know what the law says. But what was missing? The first two commandments, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you guys, you forgot about love and mercy. Boy, they were strict. So Jesus first here is talking to the Jews. That's who he came to save. He said, I came to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as the prophets promised. And he says, if you're burdened and laden, and it was interesting, Dr. Clark said this burden he's talking about, the metaphor is they lay such a load on your shoulders and they give you a point to reach. And every step you take is exhausting your strength because of that load. And it gets harder and harder and harder to walk with that load on you. And sometimes maybe a kind person would come by and help you with that load. Let me carry it a while. Now that's a metaphor. Jesus said, come to me. That invitation's personal in this individual. For whosoever will. I love that. Whosoever will. Jesus said, come to me. He didn't say go to church. I've had people say, see, Jesus didn't say go to church. Yeah, but when you become a Christian and you're baptized into Christ, you become part of his body. And then he says, I don't want you to forsake the assembling of yourselves. I want you in church on Sundays, guys. Not on the lake, not in the deer woods. I want you in church. I want you in the assembly. Why? So you can feed on the Word of God. So you can fellowship with one another. The Bible says so you can encourage one another and even warn one another when you see a brother or sister in sin. What an invitation. Jesus said, all you who are burdened, you are breaking your backs trying to please God in the way these Pharisees tell you. And do you hear what he's saying? If you want to get to God, come to me. Pharisees hated him for that. He said, come to me. What do you mean, come to you? I mean, come to me. Now, it seems kind of strange. He says, take my yoke on you. And a yoke was a term used for a harness that animals pulled with, and also for a teaching. And Dr. Clark explains to the rabbis, their yoke was what they taught you, and you were obligated, if you were their student, to do whatever the rabbi said, to follow him and his teachings. And when he died, you carried his teachings on, and you was the rabbi, and you had students. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, you guys travel earth and sea to make converts, and when you make one, he's twice the child of hell you are. Jesus saying to the people of his day, this isn't working. This is why I came, because some of you are burdened trying to get to God. Your heart's right, you want to get to God, but these guys don't know how. And it's me. Come to me. He said to them, you diligently study the scriptures, for you think by them you have eternal life. They are the ones that talk about me. Now that's blasphemy if it isn't true. But he backed it up. Oh, praise God. He's also talking to Gentiles. Yeah, there were Gentiles that were curious about Judaism and about their God, and they could become a Jew. You know, if they went and said, I want to be a Jew, then certain things were done, and God said, teach them the law, and I'll accept them as one born here. Jesus is talking to the sinner who struggles every day with temptation. He said, come to me. Me. Take my yoke upon you. You know, something I realized one day, in the one sense of this metaphor, there's two of you in the yoke, you and Jesus. Yeah. And sometimes you fall behind, and he'll reach back here and get a hold of your hand, and he'll pull you up there and say, be strong. I'm right here. I drove a team for a while. A neighbor of mine that farmed with horses, big old Belgians. He said, you ever drive a team? I said, no. He said, you ever work a team? I said, no. He said, do you want to? I said, yeah. Because my daddy talked about it all the time. I got to work that team. Well, he was with me one day, and this stud named Teddy, he was pulling. And this mare backed out of the harness. I didn't notice it. He said, slap her on the butt. I said, why? I don't want to slap her. He said, can't you see that Teddy's doing all the pulling? He said, look at the rein. His rein's taut and hers is relaxed. She's backed out of that harness. She's letting Teddy pull. Whap! I hit her. Boy, she jumped back up in that harness. You know, Jesus doesn't do that. He's helping us pull. He's helping us do what he's called us to do. And when you and I fall back, he reaches up and gets a hold of us and says, get up here. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. That's what we're inviting people into. Jesus is saying to those loaded down with guilt and shame and sin, come to me. I'll give you rest. Because his blood cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death. I say this in love. But if your life hasn't changed since you came to Jesus Christ, you didn't get saved. You just got religion. And there's too many in the church that's comfortable in that and they don't want anything else. And it's not the preacher saying this. It's Jesus saying this to you. Come to me. Well, I might have to give up something. Well, what's your soul worth? Jesus said. What will you give for it? He said, would you gain the whole world and lose your soul? This life here is temporary, church. It's not an illusion. It's not a shadow. It is reality, but it's in the physical realm, the earth. And one day this body's going to quit working. My old heart's going to say, I'm done. And I get to go home. Yeah, I'll go to be with my Lord. Don't weep for me at my funeral. I told the preacher that preached it, that I asked to preach my funeral. I said, you can talk about the fact that I love the Lord and love souls. But I said, don't go on about how good of a man I was, because I ain't. I said, don't preach me into heaven. And he said something. Said, well, I'd like to talk about this. I said, well, if you do it, allow at least 15 minutes for rebuttals. There'll be people there that's going to say, now, wait a minute. Jesus is saying to those burdened with sin, come to me. What's he going to do? Release you. That sounds strange. You want me to trade one load for another. Yeah. He said, I'm lowly in heart and meek, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You change kingdoms. You change harnesses. You used to be in the devil's harness. Now, he's the cruel one. He'll get behind you and drive you, lash you, cut you to pieces, just laugh. Jesus says, come to me. You remember last week, we talked about the demonic that Jesus healed, and that guy said, I want to go with you. Do you blame him? I don't. It said he cut himself with stones and he cried out night and day. Lived in the tombs with decaying, rotting flesh. Tormented by those demons. And when Jesus released him, he followed Jesus to the boat and said, I want to go with you. That ought to be what happens when you first get saved, Christian. Lord, I want to be with you. Here's the next step in the Christian life. I don't care what it costs. I love my Harley. I named her Mary. She's my sweetheart. I took her out yesterday. Drove her about 60 miles and just, oh, talk to me, Mary. But you know what? I'd get rid of her in a minute if the Lord said, I don't want you to have that anymore. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not saying it'd be without protest. I'd have to fast and pray on that one and say, is that really you? But you see what I'm saying? Jesus says, when you come to me, I'm going to put a burden on you. It's going to be light. Bible says he will not allow anything to come against us that we can't stand. And I'm talking about temptation. God will provide a way out. The sad thing is, a lot of the church, they don't take the way out. Well, I didn't see it. You should have, if you got the Holy Ghost in you. I've had newer Christians say, well, how do I know what's right and wrong? You got the Spirit of Christ in you. He will tell you. But what you're going to find in life is he will tell you some things are wrong and it doesn't seem to tell anybody else, and you get frustrated. Go, Lord, if I got to give this up, how come he doesn't have to? And the Lord will tell you like he did Peter, you mind your own business. You follow me and don't worry about what they're doing. I'll take care of that. Praise God. I love him for that. When I'm chastised by the Lord, I can raise my hands to him and say, thank you. Because I know you love me. Because you said I chastise every son and daughter I receive. Why am I going this way? Because Jesus never promised us an easy life as a Christian. And there's too much of that preaching going on now. Don't preach about sin, but say you need to repent of what? What do I got to change my mind about? Well, you just need to change your mind and follow Jesus. That's why the conversions are so shallow today, a lot of them. No true repentance. No guilt. And I'll tell you, when the Spirit of God's in you and you trip up, I'm here to tell you, down comes the rod. Yeah. And it's just like maybe when you stood in front of your mama and daddy and you knew that the wrath of God was coming down on you. You just stand there and say, oh, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. This is an invitation to love. And you know what we're supposed to do when we get in that harness? We're supposed to witness to others about what Jesus Christ has done in my life. I can't testify for you. Boy, I can testify for me. I know what he's done. Remember what he told the demonic? I want you to go home and tell your friends what great mercy the Lord's had on you. Well, I can't testify, Pastor, because I don't know the Bible that well. Well, read it. That's why you don't know it that well. You don't read it. You go to church Sunday and the preacher preaches a text and you go, amen, yeah, that sounds good to me. And you don't go home and compare what I've said to the Bible. That's dangerous, church. That's how you get wolves in the pulpit. You better know the Word and you better know the one who wrote the Word. Yeah. I've had the Holy Spirit red flag people with me and he's never been wrong. I'm serious. In the church, I've had the Spirit of God say, watch them. Be careful. Or people come up and sometimes they'll say something that just sounds so good, so spiritual. That's got to be God. And the Holy Ghost say, no, no, don't do it. You ain't going to like it. Don't do it. That's that Jesus yoke. Jesus speaks to us through the Word, the written Word, and also through His Spirit. Oh, don't say in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven to get God's will, or who shall descend into the deep? He said the Word is near you, even in your mouth. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Yeah. That's what Jesus is saying, if you believe in me. There's a lot of cheap grace today, and it just irks me. Grace isn't cheap. It cost God everything that was dear to Him. And when we walk in grace, the Apostle Paul said it very eloquently, what shall we do? Because we're not under the law, but we're under grace. Shall we sin? That's what some of the people in church were saying. Well, Paul, you just can't help but sin in word, thought, and deed. You know what Paul said? God forbid. May it never be so. There's some trade-offs in this yoke. Jesus said you're going to get out of the devil's yoke and you're going to get into mine. But you got a load to carry. That load's the cross. Every one of you have a cross. I got a cross. And he said, whoever endures to the end will be saved. I've got a view of salvation that a lot of people don't have, and I'm not saying I'm right and they're all wrong. When we receive Jesus Christ, truly repent and receive Him, we become new creations. But salvation is not a one-time experience, it's a lifetime experience. I've told you, salvation means to be rescued from danger. You don't get saved this all of a sudden. You know God, you know everything you need to know about Him, you know everything you need to know about the Lord, Jesus, you know everything you need to know about temptation, about the devil. No, it doesn't work that way. Because when you come to Him, you got all this baggage with you. But like the songs that we sung today, come as you are, God said, fine, bring it. But you're going to get rid of that baggage day by day, month by month, year by year, because I'm molding you into the image of my Son, Jesus Christ, for His glory and mine. And you're going to have to carry a cross. I don't know what your cross is. Really don't want to know. Be honest with you. But we all got one. There's a song that says, so many times my mind has deceived me that I really don't have to carry the cross. Jesus is inviting us to a personal relationship. God wants you to be in relationship with Him. The theologians call this a return to original righteousness. Remember Adam and Eve? God used to walk and talk with them. And now that's what He wants. He says, I'll put my Spirit in them and my law I'll write on their hearts and they will know me. And I'll be their God. They'll be my people. I'm one of God's peoples. Praise the Lord. Are you? I hope you can say, I'm a God people. He's my Father. Yeah, He's my Dad. I can call Him Daddy. The Aramaic, it says, well, we can say Abba in the Aramaic. That means Daddy. I don't call Him Daddy. I think that's a little bit immature. You know, I call Him Father. But He's my Father. And guess what? Jesus said, I'm His brother. He said, if you do my will, you're my brother. You're my sister. You're my dad. Whoa! But what about my will? No. You got a free will, but you can't do what you want to do. You got to do what I want you to do. That's part of the bargain, getting in that harness with Him. There's things I held on to for years as a Christian. And when I finally cut loose, I thought, why in the world was I so reluctant to let that go? I'm glory bound, church. Now, whoever does my funeral, I've already told them, don't you preach me into heaven because you don't know. Jesus said on the day of judgment, there'll be many who'll say to me, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We done all these things in your name. And Jesus will say, I don't know you. You wouldn't get in the harness with me. What are we waiting for, church? When are we going to start being God's people in our deeds? Talk's cheap. Well, I've been praying for brother so-and-so for years to get saved. How many times have you talked to him? D.L. Moody said the best leather to bind the Bible in is shoe leather. He was a shoe salesman who got saved. This invitation to salvation, it's the beginning of a lifelong trek you'll take with Jesus. And I love this. He said, I won't leave you. I won't bail out on you. You ever had friends bail out on you? Somebody you really trusted? Yeah, we're right behind you. Yeah, they're way back there behind you. Back there, go get him, man. Go get him. Jesus this morning is talking to his church. I know what it's like as a Christian to have secret sins. And you know what? He will chastise you until you get rid of it. Am I saying you got to be saved all over? No, that's what I'm saying. But you need to be saved every day. Every day. There's hardly a day goes by that I don't pray, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I said this and I shouldn't have, or I've had an attitude about this. Who's telling me that? It's the Holy Ghost. And I read the Word. Sometimes you read the Word and go, oh, man, I love that. And other times you go, oh, man, I don't like that at all. I don't know how that even got in the Bible. You take the good and the bad together. Being a Christian, I've learned, is like being married. You take the good and the bad. I'm talking about the bad on your part, not on his. There's an old man in Norwood one time. And that guy used to rhyme. And on his 60th wedding anniversary, he came to our cafe. He always ordered French fries. He didn't have any teeth, so I'd make them soft. And his wife came in there and jumped all over him. He was a cancer survivor. And the doctor said, you're not supposed to eat them. He shoved the plate over and said, do you want them? She said, no. He said, then I'll eat them. And I remember she looked at me and she said, 60 years I've put up with this man. And he looked at me and said, she changed her name when she quoted the verse, but instead of for better, she's changed for the worse. And don't we do that sometimes in our marriage with Jesus Christ? Don't we nag and whine and complain and like the Jews? I want to go back to Egypt, where the taskmasters beat me and demand me to work 12 hours a day. They didn't say that. We had leeks and onions. You know, we had bad breath, but man, we had leeks and onions. Fish, we ate our full, you know. And that's an easy temptation when you're a Christian. I don't know how many times I've had it. I had a lady ask me a while back, have you ever thought of retiring? I said, usually every Monday. Yeah, about every Monday I think about retiring. But you know what? Jesus goes, no. You stay in the yoke. Okay. I'm wondering if I'll live long enough to draw my Social Security. The Lord says, what do you care about? I'm taking care of you. I said, you sure are. Are you here today and you're carrying a burden? You don't have to come up here. Jesus said, come to me. And I can keep coming to him as a Christian. I'm so thankful. That wasn't a one-time invitation. Sometimes people think it is. And well, I got baptized. Rick Johnson baptized me at the Christian church, and I've never set foot in the door of the church again. I don't go to church anywhere, but I believe in Jesus, and that means I'm going to heaven. No, it doesn't. When you get into that yoke, it's a lifelong endeavor. And along the way, Jesus will elbow you once in a while and say, hey, talk to him, talk to her. I'm fired up because the other night I got talked to a young man who was hungry and asking me questions. And we stood down there for an hour. And I talked to him about the Lord and about his love and about the way he could change you. He said, well, someday I want to come to, yeah. Someday, that's a dangerous mindset, buddy. Do it today. If you're here today and you're carrying that burden, do it today. Come to Jesus. He won't drive you away. He already promised that. He calls a spade a spade. I've been told that's not a good saying anymore, but I've been saying it for 60 years. I ain't going to change now. Yeah. The Lord will confront you with your sin because he loves you. Yeah. Would you stand with me? The religious leaders of Jesus' day thought his teaching was foolishness. As I said, in their arrogance, they said, I'll get to God on my own. Well, I'm sorry to report, there's a lot of that mentality. And some's in the church. Yeah. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, I'll be hanging around here after church. If you need to talk about it, come talk to me. I find that people are a little more resistant to coming up front, and I understand. I about took the back end off a pew the first time I went up. But it's dangerous, church, to put that stuff off. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't want to do that. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly and meek. And I'll give you rest. I'd like to ask whoever has the closing prayer to please close for us. Doc, would you please pray for us?
Father, we just thank you again for the beautiful day you've given us. And Father, we thank you so much for the message that Rick just gave us. And that is right, Father. If all we need to do, or any of those that need to do, is just talk to you. Father, I talk to you every day. And Father, we just thank you so much that we have someone that we can look at, someone when we're down, that he'll just pick you right back up. And Father, we just thank you so much for that. And Father, we just thank you for Namath being here today. We see that he's going to have another operation, but he's going to run right on through that. He's going to be just fine. And Father, we just thank you for him. And Lord, today we just thank you all that's all here this morning that they got to hear what Jesus had to say. And Father, we just thank you so much for the love that you give each and every one of us, and we never give up. And it's in your name we pray, and to your glory. Amen.